We appreciate that, May. That was beautiful. Well, I might have come in too soon. I apologize if I did. It stopped, I thought. these things happen. These things happen. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and announce that the Kids for Kids Club can be dismissed. Many of you would have gotten an email this past week on what they're doing and how to get connected, a link to their classroom. And so go ahead and do that now. If you're a Kids Club kid and you don't know what to do, I would encourage you now to private chat with Shay. Shay's on here, and just private chat, say you'd like to join the Kids Club, you don't know how, and she'll let you know how to get in on that. So kids, go ahead and go at this time. Also at this time, we're going to begin again a section of our worship service called Worshiping the Creator. And these are just small snippets, small devotions of how great God is and what he has created, recognizing creation wasn't just an accident, but creation shows us we have and serve and worship a creative God. So I've asked Brother Logan to go ahead and read today's section. Brother Logan, are you here with us? Just a moment. I hope he is. I thought I saw him earlier.
What's his name?
Uh-oh. Logan?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good to hear you.
Okay. Okay. Good morning, church. A very interesting topic this morning. It's about the fancy bird, the toucan. First, let's hear what the evolutionists say about the toucan. Charles Darwin cited the large, brilliantly multicolored beak of the toucan as an example of evolution produced by natural selection in order to better attract a mate. Others have suggested that the beak was produced by the random forces of nature because it allows the toucan to have an advantage when peeling fruit. New research is now uncovering that the main function of the toucan's beak is to help the toucans stay cool in the tropical heat. The toucan can flush large amounts of heat away from its body using its massive beak. The beak, which makes up 30 to 50% of the surface area of the bird's body, as a network of blood vessels close to the surface. Depending on how much heat needs to be dissipated, the toucan can regulate the amount of heat radiating from its bill. Now, using infrared photography, researchers have observed the toucan adjusting this blood flow to its beak. This is what happens. On a hot tropical day, warm blood flows into the beak, allowing the surrounding air to cool the toucan. If the toucan is flying, which produces body heat, even more warm blood flows into the beak, again cooling the toucan. On a cool tropical night, the blood flow to the beak is reduced, keeping the bird's body at the right temperature. You could say the toucan as a radiator in its bill. Did the radiator in your car happen by chance? No, it was designed, and every design detail is there for a purpose. The designer of the toucan's radiator is God himself. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome." Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Logan. Appreciate that about the toucan, and that's an amazing creature of God's creation. Got a message that apologized for not having the picture up. They had some trouble with the streaming the picture for some reason. So we meant to have a picture for you to see. Check them out. Toucans are beautiful, amazing birds, and just amazing how God designed them to be what they are. Well, today is, of course, Father's Day, and we just want to say a special happy Father's Day to all you dads. And I saw we at IBC have a new dad in the church, and so we want to say a special congrats to Josh, Denise. I saw you guys posted that out publicly, and so we just publicly want to say congrats. That's awesome. We're so excited for you to have another little Josh running around. So amen. Or a little Denise, I'm sorry. Don't know what you're rooting for, but congrats. And I'm sure mom and dad, grandparents are excited too. So fathers, I just want to encourage you today, and I want to be a challenge to you. Being a dad isn't always easy. I've been a dad. I am a dad. We have four kids ourselves, and it's been exciting, but being a dad, you often have many different roles to play. You have to be many different things when you're a dad. I saw this great video of the dad, the roles that dads play, and so I wanted to share this with you. It's a little bit funny, but pay attention, and it makes a good point. Can you roll the video?
When you're a dad, you have to play a lot of roles.
Hey, don't eat that! Don't tap on the fire! Lordy, all right. Oh, you're good. Take a left, turn left.
When a man loves a woman, he...
Honey!
All righty, sweetie. This time I want you to concentrate and focus on the ball. You got this.
Sweetie, your date's here.
2 weeks, no TV, no phone. This is my door in my house. I told you not to slam it. You get the door back when I say you get the door back. I told you before, don't you slam the door in my house. I told you. Hey, knock it off. Don't let me turn this car around. I'll do it.
What are you wearing?
No, you're not going anywhere looking like that. Go on back upstairs and put some clothes on. Okay. Got it.
Ooh, sweetie, open the door. Get the door. Open the door, sweetie.
Bye. And Jesus steps in and stops everybody before they start throwing the rocks. And he says, let he who's without sin throw the first stone.
You do all of this knowing that one day you will get fired, because we all get fired. But by the grace of God, you might get hired back to be a consultant. Hey, sweetie, what's up?
How many of you guys can relate to some of those roles? Today, I want to talk to you about honoring your parents. Honoring your parents. And we're going to look into some passages in the Word of God to see what God has to say about how we treat our dads, our moms, of course, but our parents, and how we are to treat them as we go through different stages in our life. I read a quote by Mark Twain, the writer. He says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. When I got to 21, however, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in just 7 years. Illustrating being a dad, when they turned to be teenagers, a father said to his daughter, what's wrong, Judy? Unless you talk, usually you talk on the phone for hours. This time you only talk for 30 minutes. How come? Judy replied, it was the wrong number. Oh. I'd like to invite you, though, at this time to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 2. If you have a Bible handy or a separate device handy, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 2. This is our launching point for today's encouragement for us dads. It's for parents in general, but today we're encouraging and challenging dads. Ephesians 6, verse 2. Would you go ahead and read it with me? It says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Let's go ahead and pray and dedicate this time to the Lord. Father, I pray that today you would speak to us, that you would challenge your people, and especially us dads. Lord, it's not easy being a dad. It comes with difficulties and hardships and heartbreaks. But it's also a wonderful, wonderful joy, opportunity. It's a calling. It's entrust these little ones to us to raise for you. And so I pray, Lord, that us dads would take this calling and stand up and be the kind of dads, godly dads, that you would have us to be. And today, Lord, challenge all of us in how we can honor our parents, honor our dads through the different stages of life that we go through as we grow. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. God says, if you honor your parents, this is a commandment with a promise. And what is the promise? That you may live long on the earth. So there's this promise that God gives for one of these commands. This is one of the Ten Commandments that God gave us. My dad liked to take this one to heart because he would often regularly tell me, "Son, I brought you into this world. Don't forget that I can also take you out of this world." So honor your father and mother that you may live long. His implication was, if I didn't, I may not live so long, and he'd make sure of that. Just kidding, really. I had a great dad. I had a good dad. I had a godly dad, not a perfect dad. And that's something that we're going to look at this morning, that none of us are perfect, but we can all be good parents, and we all are to honor our parents. Why here? Why does God bring out this commandment at this time in this passage of the Ten Commandments? There's 10, and this one is highlighted. This one is mentioned here. It's important, and it's the only one with this particular promise. Why is it important? Let me give you a couple of reasons why I believe that this is important to focus on, not only in Ephesians, but in our lives as well, as Christians, as believers. It's important to focus on this honoring our parents. Why? Let me give you a few examples or a few reasons why. Number one is every parent is flawed. Surprise, every parent is flawed. Yes, your parents were flawed. They had issues. They had problems. They were flawed. Theirs were flawed as well. And if you're a parent, if you're here this morning, you're a parent, you're flawed. Therefore, it gives us no reason, it gives us no excuse not to honor them, even if the person is flawed. So when God says, honor your father and mother, that's it. He doesn't say, honor your father and mother if they are not flawed. And praise the Lord for that, because we all are. But the second reason that this is important is I wouldn't be alive without them. Now, this is kind of silly obvious. Of course, we understand this, but think it through. God chose your parents, your particular parents, to be the tools to bring you into this world, to create you. God chose them. Adam and Eve were unique. They were different. They didn't have parents, and God uniquely made them. But from that point on, everyone else since, God has done it this way. He had taken two unique people, and through them, brought them together and formed you. And he doesn't tell us to only honor those that are flawed, but all, whether they're good or they're bad or in between is irrelevant. God chose them to make you. And therefore, number three, the third reason is God chose their DNA to make me unique. He chose their particular DNA to make me the unique person that I am, that he wanted to make. Now, the Bible never mentions DNA in it. It doesn't use that term at all. But it does say this, and I want you to take a look at this passage. You probably have heard it before, but Psalms 139, verse 13 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." What a passage. David's writing here, and he's praising God for putting together. Some translations say, "You knit me together. You knit together my inward parts." And that's kind of what DNA is. It's a chain of special, unique parts that make you who you are. We all are uniquely different. Even identical twins are different from each other. You were not an accident. This is what this passage is telling us. God had a plan. He took those two individuals, your parents, and he took their DNA, parts of each one of them, and knit together something unique, something special, something that is you. There are no accidents with God. Sometimes there are unplanned things on our part, but never on God's part. Every person God had planned. God had a plan to make. The person that you are, each detail about you, God planned and used your parents' DNA to make you, you, uniquely you. So how do I honor my parents at each stage of my life as I grow? And before we go on, think about this for just a moment. At each stage of your life, at each stage of your relationship with your mother and father, at each stage it changes, and it needs to. Obviously, our relationship with our parents are different than when we were infants, than when we were in middle school, than we were teenagers, young adults, and then adults, and our relationship changes. But at all stages, God would have his people honor their parents. First of all, number one, as a child, I honor my parents. As a child, I honor my parents. The main way that this stands out here as a child is through obeying them. And this one's easy. It's kind of obvious. Doing what they ask, following instructions, doing it willfully and cheerfully and immediately. This is how God would have us to obey our parents. In our text in Ephesians 6, in verse number 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." This is what God would have of us as children. God placed them through his providence, through his sovereignty, God placed them as the authority in your life, authority over you. And this is one of the most important things that we can learn in life, is our response to authority over us. Our response. One thing we need to teach is the difference between a position and a person. The person can be a jerk. That person cannot be a nice person, but we can still and are still to honor the position of authority that God has placed them in. There's a difference there. God has ordained three authorities in the world. First, God ordained the home. the husband, wife, children. This is God's design. This is something that he has established. The second institution with authority God established is that of the church. Jesus Christ established the church. He set it up. He loved it. He died for it. And he tells us how it is to be run, how it is to be governed. And the third thing that God has established is the government itself. The Bible talks about how God establishes kings. God sets them up. God takes them down. There is no authority except which God has allowed. And so there's nothing outside of God's control. And yes, he tells us how to respond to those authorities in our life. Each has its sphere of influence in our lives. But we need to learn to submit to that authority, whichever it is. And we need, as parents, as dads, to work to teach our children to respect and to submit and to obey authority that God has placed over us. This is an important role of us dads. We need to get this. We need to help our children see this. A child who grows up thinking nobody's going to tell me what to do is going to have a very hard time in life. They're going to have a hard time in their relationships. They're going to have a hard time in work environments. They're going to have a hard time perhaps even in society. But ultimately, such a life is not pleasing to God, but that person who grows up that way is going to have a hard time learning to submit to the ultimate authority in their life, learning to submit to God as Father, as Creator, as the ruler. And that's our goal as parents. That's our goal as dads, is to enable our kids to grow up understanding God's authority in their life, first of all, through mom and dad. And so it's not that we're on a power trip just trying to teach our kids, you listen to me because I'm dad. Our goal and our desire is to help them understand submission to authority so that one day they'll be able and understand and submit to the authority of their Creator in their life, put their faith in him, put their trust in him, walk with him, obey him. That's our goal as dads, and I hope and trust that is your goal as well. This morning, recommit, dads. Make that your goal in life, that you want your kids to be able to submit to God the Father as their authority in their life. What happens, though, when they get a bit older? Things change a little bit. But one thing that doesn't change is our responsibility to honor our mother and father. That brings us to number two. As a young adult, I honor my parents. There's a couple of ways that we do this. And the first one is by respecting them. We must respect them. I see a lot of young adults in the way they talk and the way they act. Sometimes they don't show a lot of respect for this authority in their life, of their father in the home. And that's a shame. And we need to encourage that. We need to hold that up as God's design, as God's desire for our life, that we respect our moms and our dads. In the Old Testament, in the law, Leviticus 19, verse 3, God writes and tells the people, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. But he says to the people, his people, you're to revere mother and father. That is respect. Why? Because I am the Lord your God. I have established this authority I've established the home. And this is obedience to me and submission to me ultimately. So respect mother and father. Hebrews chapter 12 puts it this way in verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So the writer of Hebrews reminds us that we respect our dads. They correct us, yes, but even because they correct us, we revere them, we respect them, because God gave them to us. God established the home. He established this authority, and he gave the responsibility to fathers to correct. And sometimes the correction isn't fun. It's not enjoyable. It's difficult. But as young adults, we're still told to revere them, to respect them. If you don't learn to do this, we're going to have a hard time with the second part of this verse. If we don't learn to respect our fathers who corrected us, we're going to have a hard time learning to respect, learning to submit and be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live. And that's the connection that Hebrews here is making. We had human fathers. They corrected us as authority. Therefore, we can and have learned to respect and the correction of our Heavenly Father, that authority in our life. Do you see the connection here? I hope you do. I hope you do. The thing with young adults is that is when they really begin to see the flaws of parents or the flaws of their dad. When the kids were younger, you know, they idolized their dad. And that's the way it should be. I think this is good. I think it's natural. But they don't see the flaws, and they think dad knows everything. They think dad can fix everything. They think dad is stronger than anybody else. And so they lift their dads up in such a way. But as they become a young adult, they see, whoa, maybe that isn't the way dad is. Maybe dad doesn't know everything. Maybe he's not the strongest guy in the world. Maybe he can't fix every single thing. And it changes. But what does the Bible say? We respect them despite the flaws. How can we do this? How can we respect them? Let me give you a couple of points in regards to this respect. The first is we accept them. We accept them. The good, the bad, and just realizing that it was God who gave them to us. We accept them. Maybe you say, well, I really didn't have a choice. You didn't pick your parents. And I understand that. Of course, none of us picked our parents. But if you're a follower of Christ, you have grown and you should have grown to understand that God specifically picked them for you. God picked them for you. But there's another truth. And the truth is that they didn't have a choice with you either. Think about it. It goes both directions. They may have been looking forward to a child, but God is the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. He's the one that formed you, that made you. They didn't. They got what God put together. They got what God made. God gave them the responsibility to love, to care for you, and to raise you. But God also chose the parents that you would have. So respect them for that. Respect them for that position that God has given to them. But the second thing, besides accepting them for who they are, is forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive for their weaknesses, for their faults. As a young adult, you grew up, or you've been growing up, and you're realizing they're not perfect. They've made mistakes. Maybe they've hurt you in some way. Maybe they've not done all that they should have. But you'd learn to forgive their weaknesses and their faults. Why? That's what God would have us to do with others. And because we also realize you're going to need forgiveness in your life as well. You're not perfect. And so we honor our parents. As we grow into adulthood, don't put them down. Don't disrespect them. Don't talk about them disrespectfully. Respect them. Respect them by accepting them, by forgiving them. But the second thing we also do as young adults to honor them is listen to them. The Bible has a lot to say on this one, really. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, it says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Maybe you say, okay, I'll listen to my dad when he gets it all together himself. He's got his own problems. The truth is, then you may never listen to him. Because when do any of us have it all together? Notice these Bible verses never have that clause in it. It doesn't say a wise son heeds his father's instruction who has it all together. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say honor your mother and father who have it all together. And thank the Lord for that. Here's another one though. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you. And do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen to them. Listen to them. Again, no special clause to this general principle. You listen to them. God gave them to you. They are the authority in our life. God wants you to listen to what they have to say, input into your life. So as a young adult, I'm to honor my parents by respecting them, and I will listen to them. Now, many of us here this morning are in this last stage, though. A grown adult. We're not a child. We're not young adults anymore, whether you think you are or not. We're adults now. And this is where we're at. How do I honor my parents as an adult? I do it in two ways. The first way is by appreciating them. We appreciate them. And that's part of what Father's Day is about, a chance to take the time to say, Dad, I appreciate you. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen. And then it says, do not despise, or simply it means to appreciate them. Don't despise them. Don't focus on other things, but learn to appreciate what they have done. What can we appreciate? There's lots of things that we can appreciate. Let me give you a couple of things. First, we appreciate the efforts that they have made. They've made great effort when they had you. Parenting is just plain hard sometimes. It's difficult to be a parent. And I'm sure that there are people with us this morning that can give testimony to the efforts, to the difficulties of being a parent. It's not easy. When was the last time you thanked your parents just for putting up with you, just for raising you as you were growing and all the difficulties that they went through as well? But secondly, we appreciate their sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to be a parent. There's many sacrifices that are made. It's not cheap raising a family. It's not cheap to have kids. It's expensive. And many times, you know, there's a lot of stress, anxiety. How are we going to get the things that we need? How are we going to pay for the things we have to pay for? How are we going to take care of this? The sacrifice that is made by our parents, we appreciate them for that. Dads make sacrifices. I was reading something about the four stages of a man's life as he's aging. The first stage of a man's life is when you believe in Santa Claus. The second stage is that you don't believe in Santa Claus. The third stage is that you begin to play Santa Claus. And then the fourth stage is when you begin to look like Santa Claus. These are the four stages of a man's life. But one thing I've noticed in some cultures, often Eastern cultures, as opposed to like Western cultures. In Western cultures, often youth and beauty are admired above all things. And those who are older are just kind of more irrelevant. We like to make fun of them. They're senile. They don't have a lot to offer anymore. They've gotten beyond their use-by date. And so we kind of just, you know, put them out. What I see in a lot of different kinds of Eastern culture is that they revere their elderly. They look up to them. In the Jewish culture, this was the way it was. The elders were elevated. Youth and beauty have their place, but it was the wisdom and the gray hair that was elevated and given a special place of honor for their wisdom, for their experience, for what they have sacrificed in their life. We need to honor our parents as they age. Honor your parents by appreciating them. Honor parents, secondly, by caring for them. We need to care for them. Sometimes it may mean that we need to look after them for a time. We need to look after them physically for a time. We need to look after them sometimes financially if need be. We need to provide for them if they have these needs in their life. Remember Jesus. He was dying on the cross. They nailed him to the cross, and while he was on the cross, there were some seven different times that he spoke that's recorded in the Gospels. Of those seven times, one of the times that he spoke, he saw his mother that was there at the cross. And we read in John chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. And the disciple whom he loved, by the way, is the apostle John. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. So Jesus, he knew his time was done. He knew he was to die. Yes, we knew he resurrected and he was to go back to the Father, but his time and his ministry here on the earth was done. We don't know what happened to his earthly father, Joseph. The Bible doesn't give us the description, but by all accounts, it appears he wasn't in the picture anymore. He had passed away. And Jesus, one of the final thoughts that he had when he was dying was his mother. And he wanted to provide for her in her old age as well. And so he made provision what he could, and he entrusted her care to another faithful, close friend, to John. One of the things he thought about on the cross, of those seven things, and he mentioned many things on the cross: "It is finished. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But one of the things he thought about was his mother taking care of his parents, in this instance, his mother, and her needs, her provisions in her old age. God's plan has always been that parents provide and nurture and care for their children. But children should learn to love, respect, and then care for and take care of their parents as they need to also as they grow into their older age as well. Church, celebrate the fact that God has given you parents, your dads. Honor them. From time to time over the years, I've gotten people who will talk to me or queries, questions, why do we celebrate Father's Day or Mother's Day at church? I've been informed there are some people that can't be fathers or can't be mothers, and it's a painful time for them. And we understand those issues, and we don't ever want to be insensitive to people's hurting or suffering. That's never the intent. But what we do want to do is honor the establishments that God has given to us. All of us, whether you're a man or a woman, all of us have had parents. We've all come from parents. This is God's order. This is God's standard. And God has a lot to say, not only about being a parent, but how we are to treat and how we are to respond to this particular authority in our life. It's important. And dads, again, I want to just reiterate one more thing in closing. Being a dad is an important mission. God has entrusted something very special to us. What we teach our young ones, how we teach them to respond to us as the authority in their life that God has given to them, as we teach them to obey us, to listen to us, to submit to us, to respect us, what we are doing is training them for a relationship with their Father God. That's immensely important. That is the greatest responsibility that we can have. That is the greatest mission that we will have in this life. Take it seriously. Take it to heart. None of us are perfect. We know that. But dads, we need to strive to be the kind of men, the kind of godly men that God would have us to be. Love your family. Love your kids. Be consistent. But remember that you are the authority that God has given to them in their life. Don't lord it over them. We don't need to be tyrants or authoritarians, but we do need to remember the responsibility, the solemn responsibility that God has given to us. Because their relationships with their Creator may hang in the balance of this. Their eternity is at stake here, and we're preparing them for a relationship with their Heavenly Father. I'd like to invite us to have a word of prayer. And dads, I want to especially lift all of you up and ask God to strengthen you, to prepare you, whichever stage of dadhood you're in. Maybe your kids are grown. Well, you're still there as a consultant. You're still there to love and to have a relationship and have influence. You're to be a grandparent, perhaps one day, God willing. God's not finished with us yet. And we need to take this responsibility to heart. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this reminder this morning, not only of our role as dads and the importance of it, but also as all believers, how we are to respond to the authority of our parents through the different stages in our lives, from children to young adults to grown adults. I pray, Lord, that we would honor and respect our parents in all of these different stages, no matter which stage that we are in. Lord, be with the dads that are with us this morning. I thank you for them, and I thank you for the calling that you've placed on their life. And I pray, Lord, that they would be recommitted in their heart for this task that you've given to them to do, whether they're fathers of young children or perhaps fathers to be, whether they're fathers of young adults, fathers of full-grown children, whichever stage they're in, Lord, I pray that today they would be recommitted to be the godly examples of fatherly authority that you've placed in our lives. Lord, I pray that all of us would learn to yield and submit to you, our Father, to your authority over us as we submit to the other authorities that you've placed in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder, for this lesson this morning. And I pray today be a special remembered, blessed Father's Day for all of the IBC dads. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Mike for a few announcements. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. God bless you, all the fathers that are out there. And we certainly appreciate the message from the Word. Hey, just a few announcements that we'd like to share with you. Of course, next Sunday, we're continuing on with our Zoom worship services and Facebook Live. So mark that on your calendars. Don't forget to join in with us worship service starting at 10 o'clock. Now, we're also going to be adding in next Sunday a Sunday school time at 9 o'clock. So right now, the way it's going to look is this. The adult class at 9 o'clock will be using the very same Zoom identification number that you use for worship service. The teen class, Josh will have a separate room or a separate number set up for that. So he'll be contacting all the teens. But if you don't get contacted about that, just send Josh a message and he'll make sure that you're a part of that. We hope also in the next few weeks to have something set up for the younger children. We're still working on getting those things together, but we'll let you know about that in the coming weeks. But Kids Club, you'll be on at 10 o'clock next week, just like you were this week. Well, actually, when I say 10 o'clock, you're going to join all of us at 10 o'clock. Pastor Ken will dismiss you to go into the Kids Club zone a little bit later on after the worship part of the music and everything that's done collectively. So that's the setup for next week. And then, of course, we want to continue on with our life groups as much as possible. So life group leaders, if you can stay in contact with each of those who are part of your life group. Just a few other things to let you know about our missionaries. Of course, we're praying for this week, Pastor Cliff Wadsworth and his wife, Shannon, and all the people there at Cornerstone Baptist Church, as well as all of our other missionaries that we're praying for. Just a few other things to mention to you. Our condolences to Lenny Rennan. Just you may have saw the message this morning that her father had passed away, I think just actually this morning. And so, Lenny, if you're online this morning, we love you. We care for you. We're praying for you. And our hearts are with you this morning. So before we are dismissed, perhaps some of you are celebrating a birthday or a wedding anniversary. We'd like to celebrate that with you. So if you're celebrating birthday or wedding anniversary, just put it into the chats section and we'll be able to see that. And that way we can celebrate along with you. And of course, again, congratulations to Josh and Denise and the announcement that they made this week. So happy for you all and for the love and blessings of the church as well. Well, I think that's all of the announcements today. Pastor Ken, I'll turn it back over to you for closing time and closing prayer time.
Thank you very much, Pastor Mike. Church, take good care of your dads today. Give them a special blessing. Don't let them do any work around the house if you can, and make sure you feed them well, okay? So we do appreciate all you guys and wish we could be together on this Father's Day. But the Lord knows God is in control, and I pray and I trust that we'll be able to get together once again before too long here. So just continue to pray for our church, pray for our country, and the leaders of our country who have to make decisions for the people of the country. And we just need to pray God give wisdom and direction to them, and we support them in it. Okay, let's go ahead and dismiss with a word of prayer, shall we? Bow your heads with me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for the service that we've had today, the time of worship that collectively we've had. Lord, I pray for each family at home that you would provide for them, that, Lord, you would encourage them. I pray that the dads today would receive an extra special blessing and encouragement. And I pray that regardless of who we are, that if we have dads that are still with us, that are still alive, that we would be a blessing and an encouragement to them. Let them know, Lord, that we respect them, we appreciate them, and we love them. Lord, dismiss us though now with your blessings as we go about the rest of our week, the work that we have to do, the things, Lord, that you've given to us. May we be a good testimony. May we be a good example of the love of Christ in everywhere that we are, everywhere that we go. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Feel free to hang around a little bit and say hello and greet one another. God bless you. You're dismissed.